Yeah, I remember.
Thank you.
You just did do good.
Call the Sussex County Council meeting February 28th, 2012 to order. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. A few changes to the agenda. Under Hal Godwin, Deputy County Administrator, Mr. Brad Hawks will be taking care of that wastewater agreement. And under the executive session description, we can eliminate job applicants' qualifications.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion?
I am going to vote short, but this is fine to this particular agenda, but I need to talk about a future agenda. And right after this vote, I would like to say something, please. Yes.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, please. I went on a tour this past week conducted by the Sussex County Conservation District, and there were three council people there. What I would like to do is have that presentation made public. There was no notice that we were going to go on that trip. Other officials were there, realtors were there, and it needs to be made public what we have learned about some communities in the county that we have been told are going to flood. So we have an emergency, for one thing. We have to do something about that, in my opinion. Or all of you maybe want to go with me when these people come to me and want to know why their homes are flooding. I mean, maybe that's how you'd like to handle it, but I don't think that's the right way. And then for long term, I learned that there are some simple things we can do, such as easements to help maybe build tax ditches in the future if needed. Right now, we don't require that. So it's an emergency situation, and I want that on the agenda as soon as legally possible. And then there's a long-term planning I think we have to look at.
If you would tell Mr. Lawson exactly what it is you want on the agenda,
I want that presentation on the agenda. We all should know what was said. That's public information.
Nobody said it wasn't. Am I saying it wasn't public information?
No.
Oh, okay. Mr. Lawson, if you'd add it to the agenda, please, for next meeting, we'd be good to go. In your packet, we had minutes of February 7th and 14th. Any issues with those minutes? Any questions, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's two items. First is, dear council members, I can't begin to thank you enough for your generous donation for our graduating senior girls. They will be so surprised and proud to accept our lifetime membership to Girl Scouts of America. Without your support, this would not have become a reality. Thanks so much, Carolyn Della Camara, Product Sales Manager for Service Unit Number 14. And the second is from Mount Joy Community Civic Association. Dear Council Member Joan Deaver and Sussex County Council, we, the board members in the community of Mount Joy, want to sincerely thank you all for issuing us the grant money of $500 towards our Make a Difference Day. It is much needed, and we appreciate it greatly. Pastor Thomas Sturgis. And that is all, Mr. President.
And Council, any correspondence?
Got a bunch here, but I don't know.
Next, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. Today we have Madeline Russell with us. She has asked to make a presentation to the council on behalf of the Delaware Nature Society. If you want to go ahead on up, Mrs. Russell, and she has a presentation that we can see on the screen.
And I'll introduce Madeline. My name is Jason Beal. I manage the Abbotts Mill Nature Center in Milford. I'd like to thank the county council for its continued support of our educational programs, which helps underprivileged students come out every year to take field trips to learn about Delaware's natural environment and our rich agricultural and cultural history, including historic Abbotts Mill. We also maintain over 6 miles of trails for the public to utilize, including the cross-country course for the Milford High School team. And Madeline, as part of her educational outreach mission, has been going around to different Sussex County communities, schools, and other organizations, and presenting this program on choosing clean water. So I'll introduce Madeline Russell.
Well, it's nice to be here today.
I made a talk called Choosing Clean Water. I've given it to each of your town councils in the county and some of the local organizations like the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary Club in Seaford. There's a kids club at Blades Elementary, and the whole fifth grade in Phyllis Wheatley wanted to hear this talk, so I went over there. So this is a map of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. We're just a 1% of the watershed. We do give them 2% of their pollution, so that's what some of this talk is about. But there's 1,800 local governments in the watershed, and so this campaign is going through each local government. This is a map of Delaware, so you can see which parts of Delaware are in the Chesapeake Bay watershed and the creeks and rivers that are in the watershed. And this is the plan that we've been given, is to reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus by these amounts. And this is the plan that comes down from the state. And here's where my talk starts to mention what's going on with the water. So here's a nice map that gives you explanation of where nitrogen and phosphorus come from. And you can see how there's a nice creek, and the trees have been cleared away, so everything comes down. The creek becomes the lowest point. Things run into the water from the houses, street runoff from washing your cars, or the water coming across the roads. And what happens when there's too much nitrogen and phosphorus in the water, we get these algae blooms. And so this is Fleetwood Pond on the right, and this is a creek with an algae bloom in it. And too much algae in the water, as it decays and decomposes, leads to fish kills. So here's a picture of a fish kill. And we have Trap Pond in Sussex County that you can no longer swim in because the bacteria levels have risen too high to be consistently safe. So this is a map of the sediment. It's a bit dramatic because it's right after Hurricane Irene. So you can see where a lot of the sediment comes from, mostly the urban areas. And, of course, we're down here where the Nanticoke comes into the Chesapeake. This is my joke.
What is that?
It's a joke. It's a joke from the state of Washington that if you're out there fertilizing your lawn,
might be in the
it
water.
Might be going straight
so
into
I seed
the
my clams.
Just like oysters, that. We could do oysters.
What has happened is not getting enough fertilizer in the river, so he's putting it in there himself.
Yeah.
They've drained it off. They got it all dried up. So actually, this is a service of good purpose here. I can understand that.
I've seen Sam do that.
Walking on water.
Yeah.
It's probably how you get elected.
In tax ditches, usually. No, he doesn't come near the ocean or bays.
So what do we have? We have some examples of how to restore the a stream bed. It's eroding. The sediment's going right into the creek, so some well-placed plants can anchor that stream bed. Also, those plants on the side of the stream bed are taking up the nutrients to grow, so they're not going into the water. And so this is a simple solution when you have an erosion problem. We have this backyard habitat program through the Delaware Nature Society where you create a little more biodiversity in your yard by leaving these areas where animals can find food, water, and shelter, and then they'll raise their young there. We've got these guys in Seaford that took the extra step to make their marina a clean marina, just using boater safety courses, organizing the marina in a different way so the waste is disposed of in a more considerate way for water quality improvement.
They install pump out stations, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
There was a whole list of things, and if they followed that list, then they got this distinction. It's a program that went throughout the whole area to try to say, if you took a little extra care, you could be a clean marina. We'll give you the flag. You can fly. Give you a plaque.
Well, they have to have a place when people come in with their boats and these facilities are full, they have to be dumped somewhere.
Right.
Is that what, did they supply something for that?
That goes under the waste management. Yep, they had to have a waste management plan and then follow through with it. Yep.
Okay.
Where you put your trash.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you posted signs. Please don't dump here. Yep. This is a nice cover crop that's being developed, the radish. You leave it in the fall. You plow it under in the spring. It aerates the soil. It's got such a deep tap root that it brings the nutrients to the surface, and you might need a little less fertilizer the next spring.
When is that planted?
They're actually making these now. You can buy them.
When are they planted in the fall?
It's a cover crop.
Yes, uh-huh. Sir.
The tops keep the soil from eroding.
September, August, October, November.
When would you plant?
Mr. Phillips, I know a farm next to mine was planted with the cover crop this year, and they planted traditional time. It was after the corn was harvested.
Radishes?
Yes.
Nice.
It was a very long taproot, as shown there, as opposed to a regular radish.
It's not edible at all? I mean, is there any value to that?
I have
crop?
Not tried it, so I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think so. It was a very long taproot, and it was a mm-hmm. really clay base, so it actually aerated the soil.
And that's the point, that the long taproot? Okay.
It's amazing you're advocating plowing this under, yet the soil conservation is advocating that we should not plow and we should go no-till. So I'm just looking at two conflicts here.
I'm not sure it's a conflict, because if you don't plow it, it'll just rot in there, and then your new roots can find easier pathways.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you could do a no-till over this cover crop is what you're speculating.
I don't know, but I'm just...
We could ask the radishes.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
Any idea of the cost per acre of the seed?
No, but I do understand that Clark's Seed was selling an amazing number of radish seeds this year.
Clark's Seed?
It's in Dover. Yeah.
Soil conservation pays for that.
Looks like something a cow could eat, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's taking off. The idea of a rain garden is designed to catch the storm water before it goes into a water body. So the point of a rain garden is in positioning of where you plant it, and then it takes up those nutrients and feeds the plants rather than going into the water. Some of these are being planted in schools, like that Phyllis Wheatley had a nice rain garden area. Some of the schools in Seaford are looking to put it in because the kids enjoy planting, and the state will come out and help you site your rain garden so it's in the right places. Some of the newer developments are putting them in. We've got rain barrels. The mayor of Ellendale liked the rain barrels. She has one, so she offered to have people come pick them up and have the town be a drop spot.
See, my wife wouldn't allow that at our front door, a big rain barrel. It just isn't pretty.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that one. That might be a tough one.
Put it at the back door.
We don't even want it at the back door.
Yeah. You could camouflage it. Look like a fern.
Yep. Have to do something.
This idea of floating wetlands has been a nice idea. They take a mat made from recycled plastic bottles, and they plant it, and the plants take up the nutrients in the water, and that turns into a miniature wetland. You can go to the city of Baltimore and see them all throughout the Inner Harbor. It's fascinating. Yep. We had these ideas from the post office, made this set of stamps for energy conservation, so I got to thinking, well, what if they made a set of stamps for water quality? So I created these ideas to generate, you know, people thinking in that direction. What could you do to improve water quality? Street sweeping is a simple thing. Pulls up the dirt and trash off a street before it runs into the water. Native plants help improve water quality. Doing a community cleanup in an area where litter is a problem is a nice thing for water quality.
You got the picture of the Bob White up there.
I got the picture of the Bob White because its habitat has disappeared, and I was told by a lot of older people that there used to be so many quail in Delaware that it's an interesting thing to ask, where did they go and why did so many of them disappear?
I don't think others were the reason. My reason for Bob White's going is...
Take in your mic, folks.
Yes.
People want to hear about Bob Waits.
Yeah, we want to know.
My reason for Bob Waits leaving this area, and there used to be cubbies everywhere, and I missed the Bob Waits sound. But the real reason is we've allowed the hawks, red-tailed hawks, foxes, and those kind of things, which the game preservation has outlawed. And now, of course, they've allowed us to hunt foxes. And these red-tailed hawks we cannot hunt yet. All those kind of things is the problem. It's not necessarily habitat. I still have the same habitat. I just don't have the Bob Waits because of these characters that moved on the property.
Yeah. It's a bit of everything, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's a bit of everything. Food supply, the predators.
Actually, it's the predators. The predators is the number one reason.
I agree.
No other reason. Any of those things up there would not bring back Bob Waits because I already have all those things. I've never changed. What is coming on the property is these predators. So we need to get with the game people and tell them, get rid of these animals or these creatures that's killing our Bob Waits.
I long for the days of DDT when none of those.
DDT? I tell you what, George, when we had DDT, we had plenty of Bob Waits. They did not kill
Not many mosquitoes. Right, Mike?
So some of these things are not really answers.
Certified DDT.
Sounds good, but it's not true.
Brilliant. You know, I keep telling people come to County Council because you have, it's entertaining.
You'll learn.
And they sure do say that. I was right.
The only way we keep her quiet is she's so busy listening.
Right. They say, I've never seen anything like it, ever.
She's new to the area, so we're trying to educate her.
Yeah, right. I'm not that new, George.
Now, she knew about those things in Baltimore. She knew about those.
Floating wetlands.
They called them Baltimore Bob Waits.
Sam, I know a lot of things.
Oh, it's a Baltimore Oriole.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So we asked some questions to see if we might generate conversation, but we've generated conversation, so we're ahead of things. Water quality has a lot to do with the tiny, tiny little steps. A little bit here, a little bit there, and it all adds up. And that's the end of my talk. We give some phone numbers in case people want to contact the Nature Society.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions, Council?
This pretty much was dealing with more of the tax ditches and streams and stuff like that, not so much the inland bays, because the inland bays are on the east side. This was more or less addressed to the west side of the county where...
This is actually a campaign that's gone through every state in the watershed,
right,
through the aspect of trying to promote clean water, just right, as an attitude. Mm-hmm. And we're just saying everybody benefits when clean water is
sure,
focus. And so each state had a campaign, mm-hmm, to promote clean water. Maryland put out postcards with a family leaping into the water off a dock, mm-hmm, and they gave them out at all their big events like the Shorebirds baseball games, mm-hmm, and they tried to get people to write to their council people to say, would you please consider clean water? And they just did it as a mass way to get the attitude out there, not necessarily specific actions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the specific actions are up to each town and each county. So they were just trying to say there actually are a number of people who want this.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good job.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. The first item under Administrator is a discussion of the capitation tax. In your packets this week, there was a memo describing the Council's responsibility regarding capitation tax. In there, it stated that Title IX, Chapter 3, Section 305 of the Delaware Code requires that Council set the capitation tax for the upcoming year during a regular meeting in February. I wanted to bring up two items in regards to the capitation tax. One would be the Council's pleasure in setting the tax for the upcoming year, and two, potentially amending Delaware Code regarding the governance of Sussex County and as it relates to the capitation tax. As described in the memo, we're the only county in the state that has both a minimum and a maximum for capitation set by the Delaware Code, a minimum of $3 and a maximum of $10. Kent does not have a minimum. They only have a maximum of $5. They are required to set their tax level in April. And then Newcastle specifically is listed within the code as not even having a capitation tax that can be levied or collected.
You say they don't have one?
Code specifically says Newcastle County, no capitation tax shall be levied or collected. Historically, this council has addressed the capitation tax during the budget process. Descriptions of that were in your packet. So today, we need to set the level, and I would also ask for consideration of changing the Delaware code.
You have a motion?
I do. I have a motion for the level. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council hereby sets the capitation tax for the following year at such a sum as the council determines. I'll let you set that sum.
The minimum
is $3.
Is required,
yes,
by law. Right. Okay. Well, right.
Okay. So
let's insert, if there's a consensus, can we insert $3 today, gentlemen?
Sure. Can't make any lower.
So. Ladies and gentlemen, $3, Mr.
I'm not so sure that would be in line with what we've done in the past. Is there a possibility of us setting it at zero today?
No.
No, the state law,
state law specifically says $3 is as low as you set.
Perhaps we could set it in the motion with a caveat like we did last year when we revisited if we revisit the fiscal year 10 surplus, we had looked at it as a reduction or elimination for that particular budget year only, and maybe treat it that way this year.
Well, I think what Mr. Lawson's saying is that we need to, by state law, we need to set this thing today.
Correct.
The cheapest you can set is $3.
Correct.
Then we will move forward with changing state law to either take away the capitation tax altogether or to take away the minimum.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
If we can't get the state law changed, is there an opportunity prior to the budget approval to eliminate the capitation tax as we've done in the past?
I think we could suspend, as we've done in the past, with the budget process so that the capitation tax is not levied, yes. I don't think we can legally eliminate it per Delaware code. The only way we can eliminate it is changing the code.
Okay.
And that's the efforts that we'd like to take forth today.
Okay. All right.
And one step at a time. So today,
we have a motion.
$3.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to set the capitation tax for $3 for the coming year.
And hopefully the press doesn't write that so it sounds like we're imposing a new tax or something because we didn't do it last year. We're required to do this by state law, and we're making it the absolute minimum.
Any questions on a motion?
Not about that motion, but I'm just wondering
Let's take a vote on that motion first then.
Okay. Well, then
we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I'm wondering why we're singled out, why Newcastle County doesn't do it. So, but yes, I'll vote for this.
Cool. You'll find in state code we're singled out a lot. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Don't ask me.
Now then, you have a...
I have a second motion regarding Mrs. Deaver's concern, which would allow us to amend the Delaware code. That motion reads, be it moved, the Sussex County Council hereby authorizes county administration to seek an amendment to Title 9, Chapter 3, Section 305 of the Delaware Code as it relates to the capitation tax levied and collected in Sussex County.
Okay. Is that a
motion? Mrs. Deaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The second item is proposed legislation regarding Delaware Code. Within the Delaware Code, Title 9, Chapter 70, Section 7006, that particular section of the code governs Sussex County on our personnel policies. Again, as compared to the other two counties, we are singled out in how we are able to effectively develop and manage our own policies. For instance, the code is silent for Kent County. They had their code amended in 1988, so they were able to administer their personnel policies internally. Newcastle is a different animal because they have unions. What we are asking to do, because we are under an initiative to change our personnel policies, working with both Mr. Moore and our personnel attorney, Mr. Willoughby, to start administering personnel policies internally. We can't do that without changing or attempting to change this code so that Sussex County has the authority to administer their personnel policies on an administrative level. So my motion today would be giving authorization for the administration to attempt to amend the section cited of the Delaware Code so that we could work on our personnel policies here.
Now, does that have anything to do with diversity in hiring, or is that not related to that? Is that why we're getting this?
No. Why we're getting this is, quite frankly, we've never looked at the Delaware Code and how we are regulated by what is written, and it really prohibits what we're allowed to do here. Anytime we would like to change a personnel policy, it would require multiple public hearings and ordinances, and it's just not an effective manner to administer this policy.
So not anything to do with diversity. Okay.
No. Well, we could address diversity in the policies that we would administer.
Internal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Entertain a motion.
You got it.
Motion, second. Mr. Wilson, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you all. Finally, I have my administrator's report for February 28, 2012. Item number one, National Association of Counties Legislative Conference. Representatives from Sussex County will attend the NACO Annual Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. starting Saturday, March 3rd. Conference provides helpful workshops and educational sessions regarding topics pertaining to Sussex County, including airport funding, information technology advancements, and the status of federal budget and appropriations process. These workshops proved to be a valuable assistance in learning from experiences of other public officials in different parts of the country. The meeting with our congressional delegation is scheduled on Wednesday, March 7th, where we will provide an update on some of Sussex County's concerns. Item two, Sussex Conservation District tour and luncheon. On February 22, 2012, the Sussex Conservation District hosted a legislative tour at the request of Senator Joe Booth. The tour provided both state and county officials the opportunity to see the work the district is doing throughout the county. Immediately following today's council meeting, the Conservation District will be hosting a luncheon and presentation for the council at the county's West Complex.
Will that be public?
It is open to the public.
It will be, this is the notice for the public to attend? Is that what this is?
They've been attending, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just checking.
Item three, Julia Elizabeth Betty Hobbs Hitchens. We regret to inform you that Betty Hitchens, county pensioner, passed away on February 13, 2012. Ms. Hitchens worked in the Recorder of Deeds office and also as a clerk of the Orphans Court and Register in Chancery. She was employed by the Levy Court of Sussex County from May 1944 to December 1960 and was Sussex County's oldest pensioner, reaching the remarkable age of 106. Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County. Please be advised that the Advisory Committee on Aging will meet on Monday, March 19th at 10 a.m. in the Milton Cheer Center, located at 13275 Reynolds Road in Milton. A copy of the agenda is attached. Guest speaker at the meeting will be Janet Villareal, planner with the Delaware Division of Services for the Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, where she will be speaking on the Diamond State Health Plan Plus. And finally, please note the County Council will not hold meetings on March 6th and March 13th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on March 20th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, we're not going to meet on March 6th and March 13th. The situation with homes being built where Sussex Conservation District tells us they're going to flood, we have to do something about that. I don't think we should continue to give permits if we know that.
Well, is there an emergency?
It'll be on the next agenda.
Yeah.
When?
Next agenda?
We're not expecting no flooding.
It is March 20th.
Well, that's too long.
But we can't take any action if we don't meet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And is there an emergency situation that I'm not aware of?
Yes, you should have been on the tour, George. We've been told by Sussex Conservation District, Zora States, for one. We were shown lots with houses on them, and then we were told this is going to flood. The builder is not following the drainage plan here. So, you know, do we keep giving permits to that builder for that development? Or what do we do about it in the meantime?
We give only permits once we get all the agencies to sign off. That means the Conservation District is signing off on these?
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
I have no idea.
It's a state agency. We can't.
Do they have enforcement power?
Sure. They do, yeah.
Well, evidently, we have a problem.
We? No.
Yes.
Conservation District does, because they're approving them. And we can't, Lawrence can't give out, or you know, our building permit, we can't give a permit without all the agencies. So
we don't have.
But we can't go back and challenge the agencies because we don't have the expertise. Mm-hmm. They've been authorized to give the, you know, the advice and the direction in those areas.
They challenged us.
Who, the Conservation
District? Yes, on the tour and telling us what the problems are. So now we know. So you want to send it back to them and say it's their problem?
No, we don't have any jurisdiction there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a code.
I think Councilman Wilson is on the Conservation mm-hmm. Board. Do you have any thoughts, Mr. Wilson?
I didn't get what Joan got out of that meeting, but I did see where some people built down in the valley when they had knolls on each side, and they wonder why it flooded. It's pretty obvious that somebody don't, when they buy a piece of property, they don't know where they're buying. Mm-hmm. It's more so, it seems like to me we should have some individual responsibility to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I really want. Did you see that place there, Mike? Where it's pretty obvious. If I was going to buy a piece of land, it wouldn't have been where they bought it. When there's 10-foot knolls on each side, and you're about right in the bottom of the valley, I mean, it's just obvious that you don't buy there. And it's a shame that we expect the county to tell people how to buy their land. They don't have enough intelligence to buy it yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to say, Joan. And I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that we should allow, as being adults and responsible people, we should be able to buy our own land and buy it where we want to buy it. And if we want to put up whatever we want to put there, then we have to answer for our own actions. That's the way
the
I
system's
see
not working.
It's
Sam.
It's not my responsibility to come along and treat these people as little children and say that we're supposed to tell them what to do and not to do.
Sam, you come with me.
Put it on the agenda for our next meeting, which will be March 20th.
You come with me, Sam, when I have to go out and talk to those people as to why we have allowed this.
Well, we'll have a discussion on the 20th. We're going to move forward now. It's not on our agenda, so we're going to move forward. We will move now to we're a little bit late, but our scheduled 10:30 public hearing. More.
Yes, thank you. This is time and place for a public hearing on an ordinance to repeal ordinance number 2227 relating to councilmatic election districts and adopting councilmatic election districts. We'll have a presentation by Dick Carter, and I will assist in that presentation. After the proposed ordinance is explained, the council will have an opportunity to ask questions in order to clarify the understanding on the ordinance. After that process is completed, the floor will be open to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard on this matter, they need to come to the front podium, give a name and address, and there's a place to sign the name as well, and at that give us your information. After the public hearing is completed, the council will have an opportunity to then vote on the matter or defer if they prefer. At this point, Mr. Carter, could you come forward and give us a brief explanation?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Richard Carter. I'm the county attorney's consultant on redistricting. What we have before you today are three proposed changes to the earlier redistricting plan that was approved. Two of these three changes, the one, if you look on your map, it's east of Georgetown, and the one in the Stokely area, were requested by the Sussex County Department of Elections. The third change I picked up as I was rewriting the boundary descriptions. And in each case, these are changes where there was a slight deviation between the county council lines and the applicable legislative district lines, which would have required a very small election district to be created. Of the three, the one on the east side of Georgetown, at the corner of Sand Hill Road and Delaware Route 9, has the largest population, 263 people. This area is proposed to be moved from Councilmanic District 2 to Councilmanic District 3. The one in the Stokely area would be moved from Councilmanic District 5 to Councilmanic District 2. It has a total population of 48 people. Then the one over in the Bridgeville area, northeast of the town, has a total population of 0, and it would be moved from Councilmanic District 2 to Councilmanic District 1. Just as a matter of background, this same process has taken place all over the state as the various redistricting plans are overlaid on top of each other. These little problem areas turn pop up, and we've made, at the legislative level, have made changes in both Newcastle and Kent County, as well as Sussex County, and these are changes which were requested for the county council. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Just curious, why would we have to do anything on an area that's got a zero population?
Because by law, that area, even though it has zero population, would have to be established as a separate election district.
But it wasn't, it was left out? It wasn't put in, I guess.
No, it was originally put in District 2, but the Senate and House of Representative boundaries such.
Okay.
So we're just moving this to be in compliance with those lines.
Okay. Right.
And the other two were the two that I discussed when we passed the original plan. I'd indicated that there was one area that was between Shingle Point Road and Sand Hill Road, and also described the other area when we passed the original. Are there any other questions from the council? If not, is there anyone from the public that would like to address this matter? Anyone from the public that would like to discuss this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time the public hearing will be closed, and it's council's pleasure.
We'll close the public hearing, and if someone so chooses, entertain a motion from council.
I'll make that motion that we adopt the ordinance to repeal the ordinance number 2227.
Second. Yeah, you got a lot of twos there. Yeah,
the short title would be an ordinance to repeal ordinance number 2227 relating to Councilmatic election districts and adopting Councilmatic election districts.
Yes, that would be my motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carries. Thank you. Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. As you know, we've been reporting, or I've been reporting since last fall, that we were going to do a bond sale, and we did have that sale, a very successful sale, on February 8th, and our financial advisor, Les Guthorn, is here, and he will speak to us about the sale. You did receive a memo in your packet that gave you the highlights of the sale in terms of amounts and what our net interest rate is and what our savings were, which are very important and why we did this sale. You want to come up, Mr. Guthorn?
Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Thank you for coming down.
Oh, pleasure. I'm going to cheat here and look at what I wrote to you all. I apologize. Can't remember all of it. And you'll maybe ask me a question. I don't remember quite right. As Ms. Webb said, this sale was remarkably successful. We sold approximately $61.3 million in bonds. You had a gross savings in a percentage basis of about 12, net present value savings about 12.5%. What it really means to you is you saved about $11.5
million. $11.5 million.
Sir, $11,557,688.69 to be exact.
Ooh, God, that is successful.
The savings, when we talk about savings, we structured the transaction so it basically mirrored the loans that you already had outstanding. We did not extend the maturity. We basically changed nothing except the interest rate that you you pay, or each of these loans pay. So what the when we talk about savings, if you were to pay $100 in debt service next year on one of these loans, because we refunded that loan, it would be $75 or $85 instead. And that's essentially what happened for each of the loans that we refunded. So the in the aggregate, the $11,557,000 is an absolutely accurate number. Each loan itself generated savings as well. It wasn't as just in when you combine them all. So each loan saved, there are various differences in interest rate, but each loan generated ample savings to aggregate together to be the $11,500,000. From a technical sort of how do we look in the industry, when you save 12.5%, that's more than adequate. That's, I think, a polite way of putting it. But that's a barometer, if you will, or a measure, is if you save 3-4% on a net present value, that's considered quite sufficient to justify a refunding. Here, we more than doubled it. So I think it's a success for you all, and I hope you deem it to be that as well. Ms. Weldon was extraordinarily helpful in doing this. We couldn't have done it without her. Mr. Lawson as well. And it was just a very well done transaction. When I saw you last time, there was an interest on part of the citizens, at which you conveyed to me as well, that the local citizens of Sussex County get preferential treatment in the sale of the bonds. We made that happen. Three firms were hired, Wells Fargo, Manufacturers and Traders, better known as M&T, and RBC, which is Royal Bank of Canada. They all have retail clients. In the preference of selling, we asked for all the Sussex County.
Could you repeat that? It went to M&T and a bank in Canada?
Royal Bank. Where they come from is not, it just happens to be that's what they're called, Royal Bank of Canada.
Yeah, it's Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we have any kind of control over whether it goes locally or not?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it doesn't all go locally. No one's going to buy $61,375,000. What we did do was give priority to anyone who is first a Sussex County resident, and we did that by verifying zip codes of.
Well, that's individual bonds, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but you're talking about a chunk of bonds going to M&T and then Bank of Canada and the other entity was.
Well, ma'am, let me clarify for you.
Because I've had a complaint about it. I'm just asking.
They did not hold on to any bonds. They sold that to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were able to sell it at the first junction, and if it's a good rate. But if it goes to a stockbroker like Edward Jones, and you go there to buy the bond, I understand it costs you more. So it's at a second level.
Ma'am, it does.
Yeah, if you go to M&T, it's first level. But
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm just interested in Sussex County.
Well, I understand that, and that's what was attempted to do. We can all we can do when we're doing this is try to make sure that the opportunity is available for somebody to buy the bonds. Each of those firms put out notices saying that if they called the number, they could acquire the bonds.
Okay.
So if an individual decided not to call those numbers and went through their own personal broker and saw a difference in price, I can't control that.
Oh, you mean an individual investor?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about the different. Well, you had them. They were sold in a bunch of three. You said you had three different units. You had M&T Bank.
They were all insofar as the market's concerned. They were all one.
Mm-hmm. Some went to Canada.
No, Canadian
bank.
It's a Canadian bank, but they. They purchased a number of local firms over the last number of years, and who their name, their title is not. I'm not going to suggest to you is irrelevant, but it doesn't represent where they come, it doesn't represent where they come from. They have local offices, just like Wells Fargo has a bunch of branches. M&T has a bunch of branches. Mm-hmm. RBC has a number of brokers. Mm-hmm. They're located here. They're not located someplace else. Or, well, some are located in New York, some are Philadelphia, Wilmington, wherever they may be.
Mm-hmm. Probably much like Citizens Bank.
Oh, absolutely.
Royal Bank of Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the same thing.
That's what people read and that didn't understand that. I understand now.
Mm-hmm. But they could have called M&T if they were better. If M&T was better known to them, or Wells Fargo was better known
that.
To them.
I understand that.
That they were all equally capable of placing a retail order for Sussex County resident, and whomever placed the order would get preferential treatment if they were a Sussex County resident before any other buyers of those individual bonds.
Who gives that preferential treatment,
though? We put it in the sales order.
In the sales order. Okay, good.
So that was, I mean, I think that was a direction that you all wanted me to go in, and we made that as abundantly clear as we possibly could.
Okay.
And that was very successful, I understand, of the local interest purchase.
And you had a big retail interest. Mm-hmm. And the difficulty always is they come in $5,000 denominations. Mm-hmm. You want to buy a bond maturing in 2018, that bond may already have been purchased, or a series of bonds. Mm-hmm. It isn't that you can always get exactly the maturity you want, but I think there was enough to make it available.
Mm-hmm. Had I been holding one of the older bonds that was refinanced, what would happen to me at that point?
Your bond would be called. There was actually only one. Would be called at the par amount of the bond. You would be paid off, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would have earned interest.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's not sold at a profit or a loss, either one. Par.
Not for you.
Okay, right.
But the bonds are sold at a profit or a loss, because that's how those firms make money.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I do also want to notate on the back of your schedule where you see the detailed savings, and it's itemized by sewer district. And this is what's important, is those savings will stay in that sewer district that had the original debt. As you can see, West Rehoboth has a big benefit from this refunding. Not so much Ellendale, but nonetheless, it is a savings to a small district, which will help in their budget.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Any more questions from council?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Guthor.
Have a fine day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mr. Webb, thank you. Fred Hawks.
It happened on her watch, so we'll give Ms.